Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Tim, and welcome to History Dweebs. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Brandy Blue-Haired Herman. How you doing, Brandy?
I'm well, Tim. Thanks. How are you?
I'm tired. I had a late night last night. I didn't sleep well.
And,
sorry. Well, you don't have to be sorry. And I'm also joined by the esteemed, distinguished Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, I'm a little tired myself, Timmy, because when you can't sleep, you send me texts. And my phone ring, it beeps, and it wakes me up, and then it beeps. Doesn't really wake me up. It wakes Renee up, and then Renee pushes me and says, turn your phone off.
Well, you know, I have, advice I need to get from you from time to time, because I know you are very popular with the ladies.
I've been known to woo a lady or one. My nieces love me.
You really consider that wooing? Because that's gross.
They love me. That's all.
Well,
don't make it gross.
It would be gross if we were sexting. That would have been gross.
Would be gross.
But we wasn't sexting last night.
Although you sometimes send me the wrong text. I mean, it's disturbing. It's disturbing.
I'm sorry. As long as I don't text you the wrong pictures, we're okay.
$1,400.
Okay, so welcome everyone to our podcast. And the topic of our podcast today is Belle Guinness. Guinness. I don't know what her name is, but we'll talk about that shortly. Belle Guinness was a Guinness, right?
What's the
Guinness?
I think we said Guinness.
Belle Guinness was her occupation was? A serial killer.
I don't know. Is that an occupation?
Well, it's a hobby.
Put it on a resume.
It was for her. She paid taxes on the money. Apparently,
it's a hobby. Well. Belle Guinness was a serial killer who not only killed her own children, but she was known as Hell's Belle. And she's known to have killed over 40 people, mostly lonely men who had a lot of money. So people like me, basically.
Sure.
She would kill. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about her in just a second, but I wanted to give a couple quick shout-outs to some folks on our Facebook page. I want to give a shout-out to Scott, who made a couple of show suggestions, and we're going to look at seeing if we can put something together. So Scott from Illinois, thank you very much. And Keith, who also on our Facebook page said it, gave us a nice comment about liking a podcast. So thank you, Keith. And Brandy, do you have any shout-outs?
I do. I want to take a minute to shout-out to my youngest brother, Casey, who started listening to the podcast. So,
thanks for joining us, Casey.
Right. Welcome to the world of History Dweebs. And I also wanted to take just a minute to... I want to take just a minute to tell everybody about a really great thing that one of my friends is doing. I've had a lot of people that have been touched by cancer here recently in my life. And one of the girls that had it touch her life as well, she started doing what are called chemo kits. And she takes them out to hospitals and drops them off to chemo patients. And what they are... just bags with, pens and paper and things for people to do and slippers and, I guess, mints because their mouth gets real dry, and toothpaste and all these different things. But she has set up a GoFundMe page. So if anybody be interested in giving donations to this great, great cause, she's a dear friend of mine, and she's done a lot of good work with this. But if you go to GoFundMe, you can look up Chemo Kits by Jennifer Lovejoy Smith, and you can find her there and just give her a little bit of money, because I think what she's doing is really, really important.
Okay, yeah, great. Thanks, Brandy.
She sounds like a lovely woman.
She is a lovely woman, and she's my friend.
Yeah, and that's what kind of surprises me.
I have lovely people for friends. Not you two.
Yeah, I would wonder why she, because, I mean, she does such a hot woman thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you are such a really uncaring, well, neither here nor there, but I just
personification of evil. Was that the phrase you were looking for?
The devil's daughter, yeah. I'd say, but yeah, but she sounds like a lovely woman.
She is,
yeah.
Surprise your friends.
Yeah, well, that's nice, Brandy. Thank you for that. So, what's that? What's the website again?
It's GoFundMe, GoFundMe, and you can look up Chemo Kits or Chemo Kits by Jennifer Lovejoy Smith. Either one of those, you can find it.
You know, I thought I was getting that confused with another website called Go, but never mind.
Yeah, I know. And you know who's going to get that website? Go for yeah. You know who's going to get that website?
You.
Johnny Footstool.
Johnny Footstool.
I ain't giving up on you, Johnny. I talked to your mama the other day. I know roughly about where you live. Don't think you're free.
Western Hemisphere.
Yeah. So I found your mama. I'll find you, Johnny.
On land.
Yeah, and you want to make some fine lasagna, by the way.
Wow. Okay, Colonel, do you have any shout-outs?
I do have a shout-out here. And this shout-out, now we're doing a show about serial killers.
Surprisingly.
Surprisingly, but we had a listener send in some really interesting information to me, and that will be Pepper.
Pepper listens to... I like Pepper.
I love Pepper. You can't not know Pepper and not love Pepper.
She's very active on our Facebook page, and she is a student of history and really neat person.
And I don't mind saying she's a quite attractive woman.
See, I never looked at her photos, but I'm sure she is.
She's a beautiful, beautiful woman. Pepper's got one minor flaw. She's a Dodgers fan.
She lives in California, though, right?
Yeah, but she got some great little athlete. Great little athlete, going to be a great ball player.
She's very active on our.
So we are going to do a show based on some ideas of Pepper Centers, because they're very interesting.
Great, we keep those ideas coming, and Scott, we're gonna try to get to one of the ideas you gave us too in the next couple of weeks. So keep those ideas coming, because that's less thinking we have to do.
We got a sponsor this week.
Oh, a new sponsor.
New sponsor this week. It is Callers right outside your hometown, Timmy.
Portsmouth, Ohio.
Portsmouth, Ohio. Right outside. There's a little. Well, it's not a little shack. It's a little house, kind of hidden away, tucked back in the woods.
A trailer?
Not a trailer. It's tucked back there though.
All
it's
right.
Callers Cat House.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, Callers Cat House. If you're in need for some affection that would just make you purr.
Yeah.
Go to Carla's Cat House.
Carla's Cat House in Portsmouth.
Yeah, and if I could throw one plug in.
Of course.
On our webpage, we are looking for, we got a new segment.
Yeah.
Ask the Colonel.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to just help the world. The world's a mess, folks. The world is just a mess. And the Colonel trying to fix it. So if you got a problem, just put it on our page, or you can go to my page. You can find that on, and ask the Colonel.
So it's your Facebook page. It's a Colonel Beauregard Walters,
something like that.
You don't
know,
do you?
If you go, if you check out, if you do a search for Hawk Walters,
yeah, or you can come to History Dweebs. He's
History Dweebs, it'll be
there.
On there. But yeah, I've been trying to help some people out, and
And you're going to be doing some segments called Ask the Colonel.
Ask the Colonel, and people send me letters and they want advice. And I mean, like I said, this world's a mess. I got one from the president the other day. That one I have to keep confidential.
Of course.
I think I gave him some good advice. Canada, I would say watch out, and you better straighten up.
Now, we got a lot of listeners in Canada, so let's not offend the Canadians.
No, but they was getting a little out of line. I see. They was getting a little bit out of line.
You know, since we gave that shout-out to the folks in Newfoundland, they haven't listened.
I think you scared them away.
They must have. No, they didn't even listen to that podcast. But anyway, thank you, everyone, for listening to all of our podcasts. We really appreciate it. So let's now talk about Bell Gunness. And, Brandy, you're going to start us.
Sure. Well, Bell's origins are a matter of they're a matter of some debate. Most of her biographers say she was born on November 11th, 1859.
Veterans Day.
Okay, near the lake of Selbu in Norway.
Have you been there, Colonel?
I have not been to that particular place. I've been to Norway. Yeah.
Okay. They have.
Colonel been all over.
Norway. Norway, Ohio, Norway, Wyoming.
Listen, you don't know where the colonel been. You just stick to your story.
He's a worldly man.
I'm a worldly man. You just stick to your story.
And her parents were a stonemason and a homemaker. She was the youngest of eight children. They lived in some place that I cannot pronounce.
Doesn't really matter.
And like, I can't.
It probably matters to people who live there.
It
but
does. It's such a. I don't. And I don't.
But it's in Norway.
It's in Norway.
And they have all those consonants.
It's the largest city in central Norway.
Do you want me to read it for you? Does it got more than six letters in it?
Yeah, it's got a lot.
It's like 17 straight consonants. There's no vowels.
yeah, it's a bad scene. So there's a common but unsubstantiated story about her early life, and it says that in 1877, Gunness attended a country dance while pregnant. There, she was attacked by a man who kicked her in the abdomen, causing her to miscarry the child. This guy came from a rich family. He was never prosecuted by the Norwegian authorities, and according to people that knew her, her personality changed at that point. There was nothing remarkable about her up until then. Her personality changed.
Now, roughly what year was this?
It was not even roughly, in 1877.
So, hold on. We got a single woman walking around pregnant, not hiding in the house for shame.
It doesn't say she was single. It just says she was pregnant.
Was she barefoot?
What was she doing at the dance? What was she doing at the dance?
Dancing, obviously.
Why is she dancing pregnant?
Who cares why she was dancing pregnant?
Ain't nothing worse than a pregnant woman twerking.
Oh, shut up. So anyway.
It depends how far along they are. If it's not showing, it's okay.
Well, yeah. So her personality changed.
Yeah, I'm not buying that, but go ahead.
The man who attacked her died shortly afterwards, and the cause of his death was said to be stomach cancer.
That's some ugly stuff right there.
Having grown up in poverty, Gunness took service the next year on a large wealthy farm and served there for 3 years in order to pay for her trip across the Atlantic.
So basically she poisoned this dude.
Yeah. So she's coming to America. She moved to the United States in 1881.
She coming to America.
Easy there, Neil Diamond. She comes to the United States in 1881. Assumed her name Bell Gunness, which was not her birth name. It is another thing that I cannot pronounce. And initially she worked as a servant. Now this woman was...
Is English your first language?
Not today, it's not. I don't know.
There are some classes available if you would like to.
ESL, I know.
Send her
today
to
is not, today is not my day. So she was a handsome woman. If you want to call her that.
She was actually, she would describe herself later as a comely woman.
Well, that would be the nicest thing you could probably say about
her. She was 6 foot tall.
I know, it's right here. She was 6 foot tall. She weighed over 200 pounds.
Actually, I saw early photos of her, and she wasn't that I mean, she wasn't unattractive, but by the time she gets to,
By the time she gets to 40, she looked like a man.
I don't know. The picture I'm looking at looks like she's been rode hard and put away wet.
Yeah.
She
wouldn't be a supermodel by any means.
I didn't see that picture.
Yeah, don't take my paper.
Yeah, there ain't enough tequila in Mexico for the Carnival Messenger.
But she was physically very, very strong.
Well, domineering one.
So she was slinging people around all over the place.
Yeah, she was pretty tall, pretty big.
So, in 1884, 3 years after she comes to America, she marries a man named Mads Ditlev. Mads Ditlev Anton Sorensen. How do you like that name?
Did she hyphenate?
No, I don't think she did. I think she just stayed Bell. And they moved. They were in Chicago, and 2 years later, they opened a candy store. The business was not successful, and within a year,
do they have Boston beans?
You know what? I bet they had everlasting gobstoppers.
Oh, I like that. And the wax lips.
Yeah, the wax. I like
candy
wax
cigarettes.
That's terrible.
No,
it's bad for you.
That's a gateway thing to get the children smoking.
It's a gateway for me hitting you in the face. Stop.
Well,
so
could okay, you just
so
get on to the point?
So
I can't.
The candy store goes
so candy
up in flames.
The candy store mysteriously burns to the ground within a year. And they collected the insurance, and they with that insurance money, they bought themselves another home.
Conveniently.
Yeah. So this marriage produced no offspring, according to most researchers. Some researchers say, now I don't know how there's this discrepancy. Some researchers are saying this marriage produced no children. Others are saying they had four children together. Caroline, Axel, Myrtle, and Lucy. Axel,
Myrtle, and Lucy?
Well, not Axel, Myrtle. Like Axel, comma, Myrtle. Yeah, and Lucy.
Never name your daughter
interesting
Myrtle.
Point. Interesting thing. Now, at one point, she had a farm on LaPorte, Indiana.
Uh-huh.
Guess who else comes from LaPorte, Indiana?
Your mom.
Axel Rose.
Really?
That's crazy.
Yeah, and she had a kid named Axel.
She did. That must be his mom. So anyway, Caroline and Axel died in infancy, allegedly of acute colitis.
Ooh, that painful.
The symptoms of acute colitis, which are nausea, fever, diarrhea, and lower abdominal pain and cramping, are also symptoms of many forms of poisoning.
Yeah.
Caroline and Axel's lives were both reportedly insured, and they were paid. The insurance company paid out. An article in the New York Times on May 7th, 1908, stated that the two children belonging to her and her husband were interred in her plot in Forest Home Cemetery. On June 13th, 1900, her family moved and were counted. Wait a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. No. I can't speak English today.
Did you take a Quaalude
before
we started this thing?
Dude, I don't know what happened. It's been a long day already. On June 13th, 1900, Guinness and her family were counted in the census in Chicago. The census actually recorded her as the mother of four children, of whom two were living. Myrtle was three and Lucy was one. An adopted 10-year-old girl identified possibly as Morgan Couch, but later became known as Jenny Olson, was also counted in her household. Doesn't say when she was adopted, how she was adopted, anything like that, just that she was adopted.
So right now we've got suspicious killing of this guy who had kicked her in the stomach, causing her to lose her child.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the candy store burning down, and we've got two of her children, offspring, dying and possibly poisoned.
Now, as it just so happens, the husband kicks it on July 30th, 1900, reportedly the only day on which his two life insurance policies overlapped.
Ooh.
That's a coincidence.
I like it. The first doctor to see him thought he was suffering from strychnine poisoning. However, the family doctor that had been treating him for an enlarged heart concluded that his death had been caused by heart failure. An autopsy was considered unnecessary because the death was not thought suspicious. She told the doctors that she'd given her husband medical powders.
The medical powders.
Man, yes. I like to get a hold of some of that medical powder.
Renee put some of those medical powders on my oatmeal once in a while.
I'm sure she does. You didn't wake up for 3 days, did you?
No, gets me crazy.
I snorted some of those medical powders off of a mirror once. Yeah.
Back in the 80s. She applied for insurance money the day after her husband's funeral. His relatives.
Well, she didn't waste any time, did she?
She's, hey, you got to move forward. These things, yeah. You got to
turn the page.
Turn over.
Turn the page.
Yeah. Just come on.
No use in lingering. He's gone.
He is. He ain't coming back.
No need to dwell on it.
His relatives claim that Gunnis had poisoned her husband to collect on the insurance, which, you know.
Shocking.
Surviving records suggest that an inquest was ordered, but nobody knows if it actually ever occurred. The relatives wanted his body exhumed. That's never been confirmed either. The insurance companies did award her $8,500, or about $240,000 in today's money. And so she went out and bought herself a farm on the outskirts of LaPorte, Indiana. So she moved from LaPorte to, in 1901, she purchased a house on McClung Road. After she acquired the property, both the boat and the carriage houses burnt to the ground. So not only is she a murderer, she's an arsonist. She diversifies.
She's, well, multiple felonies going on there.
She just gets an insurance guy in there and says, "What will you pay for if I give you some money?"
Right.
Well, if your barn burns down before he's even leaving, there's smoke coming out of the barn.
Right.
Who would insure her? I mean, who's going to underwrite that?
Well, I know.
Yeah.
So she's in LaPorte, Indiana, out on McClung Road, and as she's preparing to move from Chicago to LaPorte, she becomes reacquainted with a recent widower, Peter Guns, also Norwegian-born. They're married in LaPorte in 1902, just 1 week after the ceremony. Peter's infant daughter died.
Okay, so this is where she gets the name Guns.
Yeah,
Guns.
Sounds like it. Peter's infant daughter died while alone in the house with Belle.
It's not a person you want to get as a baby.
So now we're at least, we're up to five at least.
In 1902, Peter himself met with a tragic accident.
What happened to Peter?
Well, according to Belle, he was reaching for his slippers next to the kitchen stove when he was scalded with brine.
See, yeah, man, that happens
sometimes.
Oh,
that brine. Ooh, it sticks to the skin, yeah.
I wouldn't keep at my slippers next to the...
No, not
yeah,
that brine.
That's a crazy place, but...
She what the hell is brine, anyway?
I have no idea.
It's, I don't know.
Cooked down animal fat, ain't it?
Something like that. She later declared that, in fact, part of a sausage grinding machine fell from a high shelf, causing a fatal head injury.
And you find this amusing?
This SOB has scalded, beaten the head.
And the poor bastard laying on the ground, the sausage machine fall out of the shelf and hit him on the head.
Did he have insurance? Did he have life insurance?
Hold on. Actually, a year later, Peter's brother, Gust... took Pete's older
She's
daughter.
She's a sweetheart, isn't she?
Swanhild. What's Peter's older daughter name?
Okay.
Swanhild. Uh-huh. We're going with that. To Wisconsin, and she's actually the only child that has ever survived living with this crazy.
Cut her the hell out.
Cut her the hell out, yeah.
This crazy woman. This crazy broad. So, she, her husband's death netted her another $3,000. Some say four, but it's around, it's between $65,000 and $87,000 in today's money.
And she got the slippers.
Well,
she had to get a new sausage grinder, though, because it was all
broken. She probably had to get
a
new floor.
Well, that probably set her back $20 or so.
Yeah, new sausage grinders aren't that easy to come by.
And she lost a whole pot of brine.
Right.
Also not easy. All right. Local people refused to believe that her husband could be so clumsy. He'd run a hog farm on the property and was known to be an experienced butcher.
I mean, if you can run a hog farm, you can do just damn near anything.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know.
The colonel one time, now just a quick aside, the colonel one time was at a farm in Russell Spring, Kentucky.
No, you
weren't. Oh, this is a true story. True story. And the pigs needed neutered. Because if the pigs don't get neutered, the pigs just want to fornicate. They don't want to eat. And you want big, fat pigs. Okay. You don't want them doing aerobic exercise.
Pigs.
Right, yeah. They exercise. They do the aerobics on each other, and they don't get fat.
Okay, get to it.
So the colonel had a bunch of piglets. The guy that owned the farm showed me how to neuter them. So the colonel neutered about 100 piglets that day, and you do it with basically just a razor. You cut the little sack open, two little...
This is not a great piglet story.
They're dangling from a string. Here's the craziest damn thing you ever heard. When you toss the pig balls onto the ground, the ones waiting in line and the ones that just got them, oh, they'll suck them right down.
Oh,
they'll fight over them. They will.
Well, do they bounce?
Hmm?
Do they bounce like one of those crazy balls?
They ain't like marbles too much. But
no, but like a crazy ball.
But they're attached to a string. Like it's like a 2-inch string.
Oh, this is
And the fun
mind.
Thing is to throw them down and hold onto that string and the pigs all go crazy, but you got
like
the ball
yo-yo?
Right up. Yeah,
that's
like
wrong.
That.
That's, so you're teasing
yo-yo.
Them. You're teasing
them. So you're teasing them with their brother's testicles.
Yeah.
That seems wrong to me. Okay, so she, let's see, run a hog farm. The district coroner reviewed the case and unequivocally announced that he had been murdered and convened a coroner's jury to look into the matter. She successfully convinced the investigators that she was innocent of any wrongdoing because she was so petite flower.
Did she kill him?
Well, she was a widow, too. Well,
did she kill
flower.
Him? Yeah, look at me. I'm a poor widow.
I lost all my kids.
Yeah, lost
the house keeps burning
this
down.
Is my fifth husband yeah. just died. Look
what
at
else
me.
Do you,
you
want
no
me? Why am I being
me?
Persecuted? At the time, she did not mention that she was pregnant, despite the possibility that it might have inspired sympathy. In May 1903, she gave birth to son Philip. In late 1906, she told neighbors that her foster daughter, Jenny Olson, had gone away to Lutheran College in L.A. In fact, Jenny's body was later to be found buried on her adoptive mother's property. Between 1903 and 1906, Bell continued...
Now, did she kill her just for fun, or did she get some insurance money?
Doesn't say why.
Okay.
Between 1903 and 1906, she continued to run her farm. In 1907, Guns employed a single farmhand, Mr. Ray, is it Lampier?
Yeah, Ray Lampier.
To help with her chores. So, at the same time, Guns inserted the following advertisement in the matrimonial columns of all the Chicago daily papers.
So now she's going to, she's posting personal ads.
She's
like Craigslist.
She just run out of people to kill.
Yeah.
She run out of people to kill. She needs a fresh brew.
Yeah.
Fresh, she
was lonely.
Well, yeah, she was killing everybody around her.
She's like a praying mantis. She really is.
Yeah. She's lonely. Yeah. So Lonely Hearts Club. So
and this is one that I would definitely stay away from.
No,
I would have not
it.
Answered it.
I doubt it.
Because
I think you both would have been on that, like white on
white. Here's her ad.
Okay, read. I can read the
and
ad.
There was no.
You want me to read the ad?
Oh yeah, she's supposed. To, Brandy's supposed to read.
No, she's reading the letter.
Okay.
All right.
And today we have Craigslist.
Yeah.
You got the Match.com.
Backpage.
Backpage.
Whores.com.
What the hell kind of thing? I would like to see your internet history once in a while.
I would not. I don't think I'm old enough.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. It's
you make people
you have options.
You know the NSA blushes when they look at your computer, don't you?
They just fly right over
yeah.
his house.
They're like, oh, they're a freak.
I'm Persian Kitty again.
So anyway, Miss Bell, she placed an ad that says, personal, comely widow who owns a large farm in one of the finest districts in LaPorte County, Indiana, desires to make the acquaintance of a gentleman equally well... Oh, provided. I thought she was going to say something else. Well-endowed. Well-endowed and well-provided.
Okay.
With a view of joining fortunes. No replies by letter considered unless sender is willing to follow answer with personal visit. Now... No replies by letter. She wants to, like on Craigslist, if you ain't going to send a picture, don't reply.
Right.
But here's the important part.
It's my favorite.
Triflers need not apply.
No triflers.
No, didn't want no triflers.
Don't even bother.
But you know what I don't get about that?
If you're trifling, don't even bother.
You know what? If you're posting on...
You can insure a trifler just as you can insure a rich man.
Maybe she was looking for love. You don't know.
She wasn't looking.
Well, she was trying to weed out the nerdy well.
She finds she...
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
He makes a mistake, you just kill him off and start over.
No games. You want no games.
No trifling.
Well,
no trifling.
I'm just saying, she's got some letters, I guess, and I don't know how you separate the trifles from the real guys.
Well, you have to. People have to be honest. You have to be honest.
By smell.
Yeah, so then these guys, they start, I guess, Instagramming her, or doing...
Yes, they Instagrammed her.
Tinder,
in
or whatever they had.
In 1900, they were
Yeah, they was on there, and they was sending the selfies to her, and she picked out a bunch of guys. Mm-hmm. She got a bunch of responses from
this.
It was
funny.
Yeah, and I don't get
she became known as the Lonely Heart Killer.
She's a little slutty.
Well, all these rich men can't find a woman. They got to look in the newspaper for a woman. You ain't got a secretary. You ain't got a house over. You ain't got something else.
Well, and as we stated, she was a handsome woman. And
she was 6 foot tall. She was the damn Amazon.
And bulletproof.
Yeah, she was, yeah. Yeah. And had a hog farm, no less.
She had a hog farm. Although she did have money for the insurance.
She did. She dressed well. She dressed well.
Oh, yeah. Boy, yeah, that face looks like she got hit with a bat.
It hit with an ugly bat.
Well,
it looked like someone went out in the forest.
What kind of bat?
Someone went out in the forest, found the biggest ugly tree they could find, made a bat out of it, and beat the hell out of the woman.
I know.
Yeah, she's not a very attractive woman. So where are we at in the story there, Colonel?
I have no idea. I just wanted to
okay,
be a personal
okay.
way.
So
this is when the middle-aged men start to apply.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got guys applying to her, responding to her personal ad. Now
she meets with these men, and, you know, she's having dinner with this one guy, and she raises the issue of her mortgage. How am I ever going to pay the mortgage?
Oh, you do a fine Southern belle, Miss.
How you like
devil.
That?
Yeah.
and this guy Anderson, he agreed he'd just pay it off. And if they decided to wed, he would just pay it off. Tim, this sounds like you. Your dates. So late that night, he awoke to see her standing over him, holding a guttering candle in her hand, whatever the hell that is.
It doesn't sound good.
With this weird look on her face. Without uttering a word, she ran from the room. Anderson not only fled the house, he took a train to Missouri. He was out of here. But suitors kept coming, but none except for Anderson ever left her farm. So she just ordering huge trunks to be delivered to her home. She's just getting on, just bring it on.
We don't know what she's doing with the trunks.
Yeah.
She was a traveling woman.
Yeah. And she would lift these enormous trunks like boxes of marshmallow, tossing them under her wide shoulders and carrying them into the house. She kept the shutters of her house closed day and night. She would, most of the time when people were traveling past, they saw her digging in her hog pen. I wonder why. Mr. Budsberg, an elderly widow from Iola, Wisconsin, appeared next. He was last seen alive at LaPorte Savings Bank on April 6, 1907, when he mortgaged his Wisconsin land there, signing over a deed and obtaining several thousand dollars in cash. Mr. Budberg's sons had no idea that their father had gone off to visit Gunness, and when they discovered her destination, they wrote her, and she promptly responded, saying that she'd never seen their father before. She'd never seen their father at all, sorry. Several other middle-aged men appeared and disappeared in brief visits to the farm. Then in December 1907, Andrew Helgeline, a bachelor farmer from Aberdeen, South Dakota, wrote to her and was warmly received. The pair exchanged many letters until a letter arrived that overwhelmed Helgeline, written in Gunna's own careful handwriting and dated January 13, 1908. This letter was later found on his farm. It read, now should I read this in my sultry voice?
Yeah, sultry voice.
I think you should do your southern belle.
No.
Slowly, please.
Yeah, a little slowly.
You bunch of pervs. To the dearest friend in the world, no woman in the world is happier than I am. I know that you are now to come to me and be my own. I can tell from your letters that you are the man I want.
Ooh, we get warm in here.
It does not take one long to tell when to like a person, and you I like better than anyone in the world I know. Think how we will enjoy each other's company. You, the sweetest man in the whole world. We will be all alone with each other.
Ooh-wee.
Can you conceive of anything nicer? I think of you constantly. When I hear your name mentioned, and this is when one of the dear children speaks of you, or I hear myself humming it within the words of an old love song, it is beautiful music to my ears.
She had a way with words.
She a charmer.
My heart beats in wild rapture for you. My Andrew, I love you. Come prepared to stay forever.
In the hog pen.
In the hog pen, yeah. So in response to her letter.
She didn't really define forever, yeah, did she?
In response to her letter, this guy gets so worked up and excited, he flew to be at her side January.
I don't believe they had airplanes, though.
That's what he said. Flew to her side in January 1908. And he had with him a check for $2,900, his savings, which he'd drawn from his local bank. A few days after Helgeline arrived, he and Gunnis appeared at Savings Bank in LaPorte. And deposited the check. A few days later, gone. He's gone.
He disappeared.
Where could he be?
I know where he is.
But Gunnis appeared at the savings bank to make a $500 deposit and another deposit of $700 in the state bank. At this time, she started to have problems with Ray Lampier. In March 1908, Gunnis sent several letters to a farmer and horse dealer in Topeka, Kansas named Lon Townsend, inviting him to visit her. He decided to put off the visit until spring and thus did not see her before a fire at her farm. Gunnis was also in correspondence with a man from Arkansas and sent him a letter dated May 4, 1908. He would have visited her, but did not because of the fire on her farm. Gunnis allegedly promised marriage to a suitor named Bert Albert. What a horrible name. Which did not go through because of his lack of wealth. So he was poor, cannot marry him.
Hold on. Just to be clear, you're too poor to kill and feed to my hogs.
Well, he didn't have any insurance.
He was a trifler.
He was a trifler.
Yeah. He was a trifler.
I'm not even sure why he responded.
Yeah, right. He was a trifler.
And he obviously can't follow directions.
You are not worthy of being killed and fed to my hogs. That is when you have reached a low point in life.
Tell me, Tim, more about Mr. Is it Lampier?
Yeah, Lampier. Yeah, he as you mentioned, Ray Lampier. He was the handyman who worked for Gunnis. And if you see a picture of him, you can probably look him up on the internet. He looks like Snidely Whiplash. He's just a really creepy looking dude. But anyway, he was
the sweet stash.
He didn't have a sweet stash. He was Gunnis's handyman.
Yeah.
And he loved her. He fell in love with Gunnis, and he was kind of getting jealous of all these men showing up. Even though they didn't stick around very long.
They didn't last.
But he had a kind of a jealous streak, and he would do basically all of her, anything that she asked him to do. But he become very jealous over all these guys coming in. Finally, they had it out, and she fired him in February of 1908. After she fired him, she went to the local courthouse and requested that there be a sanity hearing on Mr. Lampier. She said he was crazy, And they actually arrested him and had a sanity hearing, but they found him to be sane. So they let him go, but he kept going back to Gunness, and kind of they'd make up, they'd fight, they'd make up.
Now, he knew she was doing the killing.
He was. He didn't know that she was killing.
And he kept coming back.
And, yeah, he knew what she was up to.
A killing machine.
And,
she was a killing machine. He wanted her. And he kept, you know, he must have had balls the size of bowling balls. I mean, he must have had to take
well, he was in
to carry those around because he was just fearless.
But this is the same thing that happens all the time now. You find all these women that are horrible people, horribly bad for you.
That's
and
about
you 95%
of the women. Why, you know why?
But you follow them around like puppy dogs.
Because they got the boobs.
Look at him.
They got the boobs.
So,
you could have boobs too.
So, anyway, Mr. Lanthier ended up, he was starting to make threats to bail. He was telling.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, he knew about Hal Guinness, the Hal Guinness guy. He knew he started to talk. He was starting to get loose lips, and he started to tell people about how this dude disappeared and
snitches get riches.
Yeah, snitches get riches. So anyway, so she knew she had a problem with the handyman Ray, and. She knew that she had to do something, so she went to her lawyer, and she made out a will, and she told her lawyer that...
A will?
She told her lawyer she needed to make out the will because she was afraid that Ray Lanthier would burn down her house. He had made threats to burn down her house, and she was wanting to make out a will and leaving everything she owned to her children, three children that she had at the time.
The ones that she didn't kill.
Right. The ones that were still living. So she left her entire estate to the kids. And but this was all a ruse. She just wanted to set this whole fire thing up and get the finger pointed at Mr. Lanthier. So she hired another handyman named Joe Maxson, and on April 28, 1908, he woke up early to find that the house was on fire. Man, that woman goes through so many houses.
She needs to get some smoke detectors.
Really does. So he jumps. He barely escapes. The handyman barely escapes with his life. And the police come. He runs to get the fire department. And, you know, his old hook and ladder days. And the time they get there, the whole farmhouse is burned down. They find four bodies, three children, and a body of a woman. But the woman's head is missing, conveniently. And so it was to appear that it was Belle and her three kids. However, the body, the lady's body that they found was not that of Belle. They had neighbors looked at the body and friends.
So she has gone, I'm trying to keep this clear in my head.
Yeah.
She has gone to a lawyer and said, oh, this
Ray Lanthier, yeah,
is going to burn my house down.
Yeah.
So take care of my children.
Yeah, I'm going to.
That one didn't. Then the house burns down.
Yeah.
And her head's gone.
The house burns down. The three kids' bodies.
A head is gone.
Yeah. A head is gone.
Yeah. The kids' bodies are charred or whatever.
Kids
and then, and she, her, and there's a woman's body there with a missing head.
She killed six birds with a car.
But that the neighbors who come and look at Belle, the body, said that it wasn't Belle's. And they actually measured a body without the head and determined that it was a body of a woman who was about 5'3". And
so it's not even close.
Not even close, no. Belle was 5'8".
So that was 6 foot.
And weighed 180 to 200. And the body of this person was 5'3". And weighed she weighed like 150 pounds. So
was this before or after the fire?
This is this was without her head.
You lose weight.
And this is without her head.
Yeah.
So there was some suspicion that
Damn, Sherlock Holmes on occasion.
Yes, all over it.
No DNA evidence at the time.
Ed Gang's brother or something.
So what happens is this kid sees Ray Lanthier running away from the property when the fire occurs. So police start investigating Raylan Fear, and they've heard about his threat. They talk to Belle's attorney, the one that she met to make out the will with, and he explained that she felt threatened by Raylan Fear, and that she had stated he had threatened to burn down her house. And then so they go to interview Raylan Fear, and he denies it. But there's this kid who sees Raylan Fear running away from the house the morning of the fire, and the kid tells him that he was there at the time. He denied it, and he tells this kid, "You wouldn't say that to my face." And the kid says, "Yeah, I will. You told me to shut up, or you're going to kill me." And so the police arrest him. They arrest Raylan Fear for murder and arson. But there's still this unresolved issue of this body, which they went into a town where Belle had bought her clothes, and it just didn't add up. This wasn't her. This body wasn't that of Belle's. So, and that was the defense that Ray used, and he beat the murder rap. He was arrested for arson.
What about the kids? Does nobody care that the kids died?
Well, I'm sure they cared, but the kids were intact. I don't know what to say.
But they're still dead.
they died. So they arrest him. He goes to trial. He's found guilty of arson. He goes to prison for 1 year, and then he dies of tuberculosis. But before he dies, he makes a confession to a minister, a priest, or somebody, a man of the cloth.
Sure.
And he tells the minister that he confesses to helping Belle discard of the bodies, but of all these people. But the story that he tells is that he and Belle were in love, that she was killing these guys for money. She would lure them to her home. She would feed them a good meal, and then she would poison them or drug them or sometimes hit them over the head with a meat cleaver.
Sure.
And then she would chop them up, and then he would help her take the bodies out to the hog pen and throw the remains in the hog pen, and the hogs would devour them. He claims that our fire was set up, that he was involved, that the plan was that they would set this house on fire, and that Belle would meet him, and they would run away together and get away from that whole LaPorte. But the thing is, he also says the mystery of the mystery lady, the body there of the woman, was actually someone that she had hired a few days before then, coming from Chicago as a housekeeper. And apparently this woman had children that she brought with her, too. I don't know why she couldn't hire a childless woman or something, but this woman had kids with her. And apparently once this lady got there, thinking she was coming to take a job, Belle killed her, chopped her head off, threw it in the lake, and then murdered her kids and threw them in the lake and weighted them down with stones.
This is a hard-working woman right here. You got to give her
a lot of work in it.
She's a hard-working woman.
But anyway, so she left this body there hoping that the police would think it was hers.
But then she hauled her out of the lake and put her in the burning building?
No, she cut her head off. Threw her head
off.
Yeah, but her kids, apparently she had a couple kids, and she threw the kids' body in the lake.
Okay.
And then, she was hoping that the police would think that and she put her in some of her clothing, and hoping that the police would think that it was Belle. But,
eight sizes too big.
Yeah, Belle, she was, I don't know what she was thinking. But anyway, she was supposed to meet Lamphere on the road, and then they were supposed to hightail it out of there and go to Chicago. But Belle went out the back door, sort of went a different route, and Lemire got caught holding the bag, so to speak, and he went to prison. And she has never been, she's never been found. So there's a question of whether or not, there are still some people who said that was her body, but from what I've read, most agree it was not. It was nowhere close to her size. People who knew her who saw the remains said it was no way, it wasn't her. So, but she was quite a lady. And Charles is going to tell about some of the things that once they started looking around on her farm after she died, some of the things that they found.
Well, and it was interesting because right before the fire, she went and took all her money out of the bank.
Is that your phone?
And she took all her money out of the bank. And for some reason, that still made the handyman look bad. Yeah, but that's how he got off on the murder.
Well, she's running. She's running from him.
Yeah. And back in those days, it seems like that. How could you not find a 6-foot tall woman with a meat cleaver and a sausage maker on one hand, you know, just bashing skull? Because you know she couldn't. Yeah, she didn't stop killing. She ended up with about $6 million in today's money.
She moved to England and became Jack the Ripper.
$6 million in today's money.
$6 million in today's money. Now it's really hard to say how many people she killed. They could put 12 complete bodies together from what they pulled out of the pig pen. And they know now. Back then, they did not have the CSI. They did not have the NCIS. Had they had Ziva on the case, she would have solved it.
Right.
And Ziva would have kicked Belle's ass.
Right.
Obvious.
Yes. She would have rang her bell.
Oh, Ziva's up. Ziva, well.
Easy.
Yeah, I know. I got to stop for a second, recompose myself when I talk about Ziva. She's
it. Thank you.
Yeah. But she killed a lot of Olafs. I mean, these guys was... Now, this poor guy, and he sounds like a trifler to me. He was from Elbow Lake, Minnesota, and his name was John Moe. Now, doesn't that sound like a trifler?
It does.
Now, his watch was found in Lampier's possession. We got an Olaf Lindblom. We got an Olaf Zeverhard. We got a Henry Gohard of Scandinavia, Wisconsin. He went to Weta a year earlier, took $1,500 and a watch. We got Thomas Limbo. They know he was dead. Ole Budsberg of Eola, Wisconsin. William Mingay. Now, he was a coachman of New York City, and that sounds like a trifler to me.
Jesus.
I mean, doesn't that sound like... We got Charles Nieberg. He was a 28-year-old Scandinavian immigrant. He'd been working as a saloon keeper and only had $500 with him. Trifler, but he got killed.
Well, it certainly wasn't her type.
Another Olaf, and there's a lot of Olafs.
It didn't seem like they had to be wealthy, though, for her, though. I mean, she was
the point. If they had insured and wealthy.
Some of them, they just had, like, a horse and carriage. And they would come and...
Pawn it.
Yeah.
Pawn it.
They would sign it over to her, and the next day they end up dead.
I wish. I mean, what kind of feminine wiles do you need to possess besides boobs?
That's pretty much all the feminine wiles you need for anything.
Apparently, she was a good cook. She must have been a good cook.
She must have been a hell of a cook, yeah. And she must have been one of those people that... She was one of those women that if you took a garden hose, like a 10-foot section of garden hose... Up. And put a golf ball on one end, she could suck it all the way through the other end.
Well, she evidently didn't have a vagina crotch.
She didn't have teeth. Vaginal teeth. She did not have vaginas. Gingivitis. Now, this is the one that, but so many of these guys was Olaf. And then there was Bert Chase. Bert Chase. Well,
sounds like an actor of
the 50s. He was a game show host. Good old Bert. From Mishawaka, Indiana. And
Wink Martindale.
Yeah.
That's right.
Bert Chase, game show host. Now, you know the game show host is a trifler.
Yeah, he wasn't a game show host, but go on.
Okay, well, Bert Chase, what else could he have been? You know what I mean? They didn't
have stage name.
That
was
then.
A stage name.
Yeah, it wasn't a used car salesman, so he had to be a game show host. But anyway... He disappears. He says he's going to see a wealthy widow. Then his brother gets a telegram from, supposedly, from Aberdeen, South Dakota, claiming that Bert had been killed in a train wreck.
Tragic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
Now, there was a hired man, George Bradley. Another, again, trifler. Why did she even put no triflers need apply? She took in all kinds of triflers.
And, so, you know, you probably pay those ads by the letter or something, by the word at least. And so she probably, that cost her money.
But you know what? Yeah. All this stuff seems like a lot of work.
For $6 million?
A lot of conniving, a lot of work.
Well, first of all,
you had to juggle a lot of stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
Conniving is a woman's nature. I mean, they don't have to work hard to connive. You know, now killing, most women ain't gonna. Now you ain't gotta hit the colonel. Now most women ain't gonna kill for money. Women when they kill, they kill because they're aggravated.
Tim's girlfriend Jody Aris.
Well, Tim's, yeah, we're gonna get to that just in a minute. But most women. Listeners, most men listeners. Now, let me give you some advice. Here's where you're going to get some advice from the colonel. When women start finding out that you got some money, okay, they might kill you. They will kill you for the money. Now, myself, I'm lucky enough to not have any money. My wife's got all the money.
You're kept.
I'm a kept man. I got a sugar mama. But what I do have that disturbs me, I have a rather large life insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is every so often, about every other night, I don't do it in any order that she can figure out.
Sure.
When she puts the dinner on the table, sometimes I switch plates with Logan.
Sure. Your son.
Well, my son.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then she knows. She knows. Because she loves the boy. She won't harm the boy. Wouldn't harm a hair on the boy's head. So, if she's going to put her magic powder on my spaghetti, she knows Logan.
Your medicine.
Let's get back to the story.
Where was we?
May I?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. About 40 people, most of them named Olaf, and a game show.
Mostly named Olaf.
Okay, so anyway, back to the aftermath of this whole thing with Miss Gunness. There were several sightings of Belle Gunness over the years, living in different cities. People swore they saw her as late as 1931, where she had been reported living in different cities, in Chicago, in San Francisco, in New York, L.A. And in 1931, she was thought to have been living in Mississippi. But... you know, who knows? No one knows for sure. As recently as 2007, the University of Indianapolis, they did a DNA sample on the body that was found, the female body that was found in the home of the burned out farmhouse. And hoping to use some DNA that was on an envelope that Miss Gunness had used, but there was not enough DNA for them to make a determination whether there was a match or not. So it remains unsolved. If that was not her, then she got away with, as the colonel said, about 40 or more murders that we know of. She was quite a gal. You two have anything you would like to add? And we're not going to talk about me wooing Jody Aris either.
I'm sorry, counselor, but you opened up the case. We got a bet that Tim can't get a letter from Jody Aris.
Aris?
Handwritten letter.
What's her name? Is it Aris?
Aris, whatever.
Aris?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. I have nothing else to add to this story.
Okay. Colonel, do you have anything else to add?
Well, as I was saying before, women can be wily.
Like coyotes.
Typically, they will only kill you if you give them some kind of cause. Now, that cause could be, you know, you ate the last chocolate chip cookie. But they won't kill you without cause. They typically won't kill you for money.
I'm going to kill you now. I've got reason.
Okay, thank you all for joining us. And listen to us next time on History Dweebs.
You're just saying.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.